seen in our song service, that our God is great in creation, that our God is great in the things that we see around us. But today, we're going to see this evening that our God is great as our shepherd. Our God is great as our leader. So if you would turn to Psalm chapter 23 with me this evening, Psalm chapter 23. And as we begin, history is bursting with examples of people who have blindly followed horrible leaders. The German people followed Hitler as he wreaked havoc across the globe, as he murdered countless millions of Jews. Likewise, the Russian people blindly followed their leader Stalin, as he also wreaked havoc, but on his own people. And Mao Zedong's rule in China led to millions of his own people dying from starvation. And you might say, well, those are examples of people who are unbelievers. Those are examples of people who are outside the church. The church is different. But my question today is the church really that different? What about the countless churches that have imploded because of poor pastoral leadership? What about the stories of Ravi Zacharias, Jim Baker, Mark Driscoll, and so many others who have hurt their followers by failing to live up to their own message? And the question that arises out of all of this is, why do humans, in the church or otherwise, gravitate towards the wrong leaders? And ultimately, one of the answers that we can find is because they don't truly know their leaders. They don't truly know the person that they're following. Oh, this person might dress the right way, and this person might say all the right things. They do all the right things to make people follow them. They have the right vision. But they only serve themselves. However, there is one shepherd whom we can know and fully trust, and who longs for us to know him, and that's the Lord. Let's read our text this morning, Psalm chapter 23, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David likely wrote Psalm 23 when he was the king over Israel. And although many of the psalms that David wrote refer to the Lord as our deliverer or our king, or maybe even what some might call a more impersonal rock or shield, Psalm 23 stands out because of its intensely personal nature. It's the metaphor of the Lord being a shepherd. And it's a metaphor that David knew very well, as he himself had been a shepherd for many years. Unlike the king or the deliverer, the shepherd lives with his flock. And they depend on him for everything. He is their guide. He is their physician, and he's their protector. And through this psalm, it's clear that David knew his shepherd. And so through our study of it tonight, we can find that we can know our shepherd. But then the question arises, how can we know our shepherd? And what does he do for us? Is he really sufficient for all of our needs? Well, today, we're going to see who our shepherd really is and how he takes care of us, even through the darkest valley. So first of all, our shepherd satisfies us. And we find this in verses 1 to 3. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." The Lord satisfies us by being all that we need. In the Old Testament, the shepherd was vitally important to the health and the safety and security of his flock. Without the shepherd, this flock had no direction, the flock had no protection from outside harm, and even they had no protection from themselves. Because if you haven't seen by now, sheep are pretty unintelligent animals when it comes to safety and security. The shepherd, the shepherd was ultimately the one who provided everything for them. And just as David was the shepherd for his flock when he was younger, he sees the Lord, in turn, as a shepherd in his own life. The Lord. And like we were talking about this evening with the song service, the Lord, the creator of everything, wants to know each of us individually as our shepherd, intimately. But he goes on in verse 1 to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In the Hebrew, that "I shall not want" literally means "I want nothing." David's saying here that he finds everything that he needs in the Lord his shepherd. And don't miss this. Because David knows his shepherd, because David knows who his shepherd is, he also knows that nothing outside of the Lord will be able to ultimately satisfy him. The Lord is the only one who will be able to cause David to say, "I shall not want." So the question that it brings up is, do we truly know our shepherd? Do we find him sufficient for all of our needs? Do we find the Lord sufficient for everything that we're going through? Not just trials, not just the hard times that we go through, but everyday life. Do we find the Lord as completely and utterly sufficient for our lives? But then if we move on to verse 2, we see that he satisfies us by giving us good things. Verse 2 says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." The metaphor of a tired sheep being led by these still waters and green pastures comes a little bit more to life when we think about the terrain of where David was living. A lot of these shepherds in Old Testament Israel, they would have been tending their sheep in the Negev wilderness, or what that word means is dry, the dry wilderness. And if you think about dry Palestine and the arid nature of the land over there, green pastures and still waters are something that are incredibly rare and incredibly refreshing. As a result of there being not a whole lot of places, there was little water for the sheep. However, there was a northern mountainous region in the Negev wilderness that was full of rare green hills, perfect for grazing sheep. And it's this sense of refreshment from the dry and barren wilderness that David's referring to here. So he says, first of all, that he gives us green pastures. And these green pastures in the life of the Christian can be the times when we are weak and heavy laden, and we come to Christ for rest, as Christ says in Matthew 11:28. And the thought of the shepherd causing the tired sheep to lie down in green pastures is so telling of the care that the shepherd has for the sheep, isn't it? The shepherd is not just asking the sheep to continue on and leading the sheep until they run ragged. No, the shepherd cares for the health of the sheep. The shepherd is intensely concerned about the sheep. So not only does he give us green pastures, but he gives us still waters. It says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." That phrase there, "He leadeth me," is an amazing picture of who our shepherd really is. It has the idea of a gentle leading and guidance. And it's literally the shepherd accommodating himself to the strength of the sheep. It's the shepherd not going on ahead and forging ahead and saying, you got to keep up, you got to keep up. But instead, it's the shepherd realizing the lack of strength that we have and leading us at our pace, coming down to us and leading us through our trials, leading us when we falter, leading us when we have victories and we begin to trust him more. Our shepherd leads us in a sense that he is closely connected to us. And like I said before, water in dry Palestine is the ultimate picture of refreshment, which is why David says, he leads me beside the still waters. And we notice that these waters are not boisterous or loud. They're not waters that would scare the sheep or frighten them, but it's instead waters that are calm and peaceful. The Lord leads us along places that are beautiful, that are good for us. Because obviously the Lord is the one who ultimately knows what's good for us. But then we see that he satisfies us by restoring our souls in verse 3. Verse 3 says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul is the idea of him reviving the fainting. This is mainly speaking of the spiritual restoration that only our shepherd can give. And friend, no matter how big, no matter how insurmountable that we view our sin, our shepherd longs to refresh us with himself. When we give him our sins, when we come to him for forgiveness, he can revive us again so that we are no longer spiritually fainting. And it's interesting to note here that the Lord not only cares for those sheep who are doing well, the sheep that are strong and mature, but he also and especially cares for those sheep that are struggling, the sheep that are weak and fainting. And I think many of us would sit here tonight and say, that's me. I feel like a sheep that's weak, that's fainting, that's heavy, in need of Christ. And aren't you so glad that our shepherd cares specifically for us, for the ones who have no strength? But then at the second half of verse 3, he leads me in the path of righteousness. That word leadeth, that's implying that we must follow. The Lord is leading, and it's our responsibility to follow him. We will not just happen upon the paths of righteousness in our own strength. We don't just go about our lives and naturally make right choices. We naturally make the choices that draw us away from the Lord. And so what a blessing that the Lord leads us on those paths of righteousness. Without the guidance of our shepherd, we would be hopelessly lost. David himself was led in these paths of righteousness by the word of the Lord. Psalm 119:97 says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. And today, we are led in the paths of righteousness by the Holy Spirit and the inspired word of God, the Bible. And so can we truly say along with David, oh, how I love thy law? Does your life demonstrate that you love the word of God and the paths of righteousness? Because friends, we talked a little bit about this morning, but we cannot know the paths of righteousness without being in the word of God. It's so important. But then at the last part of verse 3, he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is the work of the Lord, friends. This is not our work. Our shepherd restores us to himself because he loves us and not because we're lovely. We have nothing to offer our Savior. We have nothing good to offer the Lord. just like a sheep is completely helpless without his shepherd, so too we are worthless and no good without our Lord. He loves us because of his great love, not because we're loved. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So we see, first of all, that our shepherd satisfies us. But second, we see that our shepherd protects us. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So we see first that he protects us through frightening times. The valley of the shadow of death here is a Hebrew phrase that means the blackest darkness. And it gives the idea of being surrounded on all sides by all sorts of dangers and threats, even to the point of death itself. And David himself was no stranger to being surrounded on all sides by dangers and threats. Even as he himself was a shepherd, he was surrounded by wild animals that would want to hurt his flock. And we're told on multiple accounts in the scriptures of these encounters, and many more, I'm sure, would have happened while he was guarding his flock. But not only was David the shepherd affected by people or things that wanted to steal his flock, but David the king was as well. Now David, he himself was hunted by Saul. David was betrayed by his own son. David knew what it was like to feel like he was surrounded on all sides by those who hated him. But the truth is, and David knew this, in all dangers, and even in death, we have nothing to fear. But why? Why do we have this fearlessness of even death? Well, look at the last part of verse 4. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. One commentator writes this: the word thou at this point of danger replaces the more distant word he in a person-to-person address. For the shepherd is no longer ahead to lead, but alongside to escort. And we see here that in times of great struggle, our shepherd is beside us. He's helping us every step of the way. Our natural response when evil comes on us is to fear. And this is why David says, I will fear no evil. I will not have a natural human response to these dangers, to being surrounded on all sides by those who hate me, by those who seek my demise, but I will fear no evil because thou art with me. We do not need to fear, despite even the most fearful times, because our shepherd is right beside us every step of the way. And then verse 4 also says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So we see that he protects us from evil. The rod was used by the shepherd for protection, not for correction. It would have been with this tool that David would have defended his sheep from these wild animals. And when passing through the darkest moments of our lives, we can find comfort in the fact that our shepherd protects us. He protected us even with his life. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So he protects us from outside enemies, but he also protects us from ourselves. The staff was used to round up the flock and to provide guidance by the means of correction and discipline. Have any of you seen that video on the internet of the sheep where the guy gets it out of this irrigation ditch and he picks it up and he sets it on the ground and the sheep is safe? And let's just be completely honest here. The irrigation ditch, how in the world could you miss it? I mean, it's huge, okay? And it's running the entire length of the field. So the shepherd picks him up, puts him on the ground, and lets him go, and the sheep takes two bounds and goes right back into the ditch. And how often are we like this in our own Christian lives? God knows us, God knows better than we do. And oftentimes we think that we know what's best. We know what's best in our job. We know what's best in our family life. We even know what's best in church. God, don't worry about this. I've got it. And so often we act like that sheep, where the Lord rescues us from danger. The Lord rescues us from ourselves. And we go right back into it. The discipline of the Lord is His protection of us. It's not His withholding of things from us, and it's certainly not His abuse of us. Hebrews 12:6, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. So the Lord protects us from ourselves. And this protection brings comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This protection that the Lord gives from our enemies and from ourselves, He gives through our darkest trials and even through death. This is all a blessing that brings great comfort to us. The reality is, no one can walk through death with you, right? Not even your closest companion. Death is the one time where you have to walk through death alone. Yet here, our shepherd offers the greatest comfort by saying that He will be there. Not only will He be with us, but He will be close, even in death. So we've seen that our shepherd protects us, our shepherd satisfies us, but finally we see that our shepherd blesses us. Verse 5 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He blesses us by preparing a feast for us in front of our enemies. That phrase that he says, thou preparest a table, suggests a feast or a bounty. And the idea of the Lord preparing this is the idea of planning and care that went into the preparation. And the Lord prepares this table for you and for me. And notice that the table is prepared. The table is already ready, and all we need to do is sit down and partake. This table is a picture of the Word of God. God has prepared a feast for us in His Word, more than we could ever imagine. And we have this Word of God, this feast that the Lord is talking about in our hands today. What a blessing. The Lord has prepared this feast for us that we can partake in, that we can be blessed by. So much more than we could ever imagine. And we have it with us. But not only has He prepared this feast for us, but look at the next part of the verse. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. This is the idea that we can feast in front of our enemies. And Spurgeon explains it a little bit better. When a soldier is in the presence of his enemies, if he eats at all, he snatches a hasty meal, and away he hastens to the fight. But observe, thou preparest a table. Nothing is hurried. There's no confusion, no disturbance. The enemy is at the door, and yet God prepares a table. And the Christian sits down and eats as if everything were in perfect peace. What a remarkable picture of our shepherd. Our enemies are all around us, and yet we sit down and feast in their presence, at the table that the Lord has provided for us. Our enemies are at the door. Something that, humanly speaking, would cause fear, it would cause distress. And yet we can have great peace and comfort in knowing who our shepherd is through the feast that He's prepared for us. And notice that the enemies are still present in verse 5. The enemies haven't disappeared. Nothing, physically speaking, has changed in the verse. Rather, David's focus has shifted. When our focus is on the Lord instead of our circumstances, we can feast on what He's already prepared for us in His Word. And our enemies, try as they might, will not be able to shake us. But then he says in the rest of verse 5, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The anointing of a person's head with oil was a customary expression of hospitality in the Old Testament. And it shows that the Lord blesses us by giving us more than we need. It adds to the celebratory mood of the feast metaphor. And then the filling of someone's cup to overflowing showed that David had so much more than he even needed. Friends, this is a demonstration here in verse number 5 of the rich goodness of our shepherd. We have been given over and above everything that we need. So often we feel that the Lord hasn't given us enough to be able to fight this trial. The Lord hasn't been giving us enough to fight this temptation. And yet the Lord says here, David says here, that the Lord has given us everything that we need and over everything that we need. The Lord is a good shepherd. When God has been so good to us to the point that our cups overflow, shouldn't we then use that overflow to be a blessing to others? Matthew 10:18, Jesus says, freely ye have received, freely give. We have received so much goodness from the Lord. And shouldn't we then share what God has done with us, what God has blessed us with? How selfish is it when we keep the things that the Lord has blessed us with to ourselves? Now, not only should we share in word, but we should share in deed as well. We should bless others with what God has given us. Not as a point of showing just how much the Lord has given me, but as a point to say, God has blessed me, now let me use this to help you as well. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord blesses us by giving us himself. He gives us goodness and mercy. These two words describe the sort of kindness and unwavering support that someone would expect from family or a close friend. And isn't it true today that everyone is seeking happiness? They're chasing after it, and yet the more they chase after it, the longer they spend looking for ways to be happy, the sadder they seem to be, the more depressed they seem to be. They will never be able to find it without Christ. And when we feast at the table of our Lord, his goodness and mercy, the verse says, will follow us. When we feast at the table of our great God, what joy and what goodness is there? And all we need to do is to partake. And the second half of the verse says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is David's confident expectation that even death would not stop his fellowship with the Lord. To be a guest in the house of the Lord, as David says here in the last part of verse 6, to be a guest in the house of the Lord is more than just to be invited for a day, more than even just to be invited for a season of time. It's a permanent invitation to come home. Someday, when our long pilgrimage on earth is finished, we too will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we can hear our Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The beauty of the end of this psalm is that really it's just the beginning. It begins our eternal union with our shepherd in his house. As we walk along with our shepherd, as he leads us, as he leads us to good green pastures, to still waters, as he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death even, we know that this is only just the beginning. When we get to the house of the Lord. David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is just the beginning of the glorious fellowship that we can expect to have with our Savior. So, friend, do you know your shepherd today? We've seen through this psalm that our shepherd satisfies us, protects us, and blesses us. We've seen that as humans, we're not very good at picking outstanding leaders in times of need. However, our shepherd will not just lead us in the paths of righteousness, but he will also accompany us through the darkest valley. We don't need to fear anything because we have his presence, and that's enough. But this psalm isn't just for David. It's for you and me too. David's shepherd is our shepherd today. As Hebrews 12:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What's purpose to know our shepherd? Because when we do, we can face our enemies, whether they be physical, mental, or spiritual, with a feast that has already been prepared for us in the word of the Lord. Let's run to our shepherd this week, and let's live victoriously as we grow to know him better. Lord, thank you that you are our shepherd. And thank you that we can know you personally and intimately. And when we know you, we will see that you are everything that we need. And that we need nothing else apart from you. Because nothing else apart from you will ever truly satisfy. I pray that you would help us today to live in the reality of our shepherd and to seek to know our shepherd more so that every single day we will trust him just a little bit more. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness.